presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
And a good morning to all of you, and welcome into a Dog Nation Daily here today, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We have got a very big and busy show coming up for you in just a little bit. We will say hello to the great former Georgia offensive lineman, John Stinchcomb. We'll react to the news with Stinch. The Georgia gets an offensive lineman for yesterday. Four-star offensive lineman Chad Lindbergh made that official to UGA. We'll talk more about him over the course of our program. We'll try to set the stage tonight for what Kendall Milton is going to do with his college decision. He'll announce that later on. We'll try to provide a bit of a preview of all of that, and we'll take care of everything else in between from what was a very big recruiting weekend for the Georgia Bulldogs. It is great to have you with us. Let me start here, if you don't mind, with the news at hand for what goes down with Lindbergh yesterday. First of all, he made this official on Twitter. We'll show you that screen grab, give you a chance to see the picture of Lindbergh, all smiles, committed. It says thank you to all, and he announces his commitment there to the University of Georgia. And I think this is kind of an interesting window, the Lindbergh news, into the recruiting philosophy that's in place at Georgia right now. And I'm not going to lie to you. When I looked at the scenario from last week, there was an element in which, when I kind of paid attention to that, it almost made me wonder, how well is Georgia doing at achieving the objectives that it has for this current class? There's some guys that Georgia may hit on. There may be a couple that Georgia's going to miss on, which makes that really no different than any other recruiting cycle for any program. But when it's all said and done, how's Georgia going to do in terms of really achieving these objectives? And from time to time, maybe you think, well, there's momentum with so-and-so player, with so-and-so program, or Georgia's chances at getting this player maybe slipping away. And yet what you see in the aftermath of a lot of the news that's gone on, Georgia just remains relentless and just keeps on coming. Because the position that Lindbergh plays, and by the way, he's no slouch, according to the 24/7 Sports Composite, which basically tabulates all the recruiting information that's out there in kind of one easy-to-digest package, Lindbergh's number 133 player in the country, number 14 offensive tackle in the country, number 19 prospect in the very prodigious state when it comes to talent, of course, the state of Texas there. And the fact that Lindbergh, in a lot of ways, and maybe these lines can't be quite drawn and connected quite as easily as this, but the fact that Lindbergh is seemingly the response to the loss the other day of Andrew Rame, who decided to stay in his state of Oklahoma to play for the Sooners, it just goes to show you kind of what Georgia brings to the table. I talk a lot about the strategy when it comes to recruiting and, what the philosophy behind what's going to put one of these classes together is. Well, it clearly goes to show you that some coaches may be playing checkers, some coaches may be playing chess. For the most part, it looks like Kirby Smart, Sam Pittman, the Georgia coaches are playing hungry, hungry hippos. They are just banging and slamming and trying to grab and take everything they can for themselves, and they are simply going to just be more aggressive than every other coach in the country. And when a very aggressive ploy, like going into Oklahoma and trying to get Andrew Rame, when that doesn't work, there's a pretty clear response there. Well, Georgia's simply going to respond to that aggressive miss with just more aggression. And if you go into Oklahoma and you don't get Rame, well, let me just go into Louisiana and try to get Cedric Von Prahn, who was on campus this weekend as a part of a busy recruiting weekend that we'll have more coverage of in just a moment. Or let me go into Texas and Texas Longhorns and Tom Herman, who thinks he's a hot shot up and coming coach. He thinks he's got his sights set on Chad Lindbergh. He thinks he's zeroed in on him. Let me go invade that state and let me pull out Chad Lindbergh for myself, and let me make that guy be a part of this 2020 class. It is one heck of a response given what has recently happened for Georgia when it comes to its offensive line. And obviously, it's a huge testament to Sam Pittman and the work that he continues to do. And by the way, with that in mind, I thought the Pittman video from this yesterday was really funny, because obviously these coaches are self-aware, and so many Georgia fans, maybe more so than any assistant the program's really ever had, that catchphrase from Pittman with the "yes, sir" has grown to be something that Georgia fans really, really enjoy. And yesterday, Pittman gave you a little bit of a different version of that, almost a bit of a swerve there at the end at first, making it seem like it was kind of a preseason video. But before finally getting to the thing that everybody wanted to hear, the "yes, sir" in celebration of Lindbergh. Obviously, you can't mention him by name. I thought this was funny, and I wanted to take a minute to share it with you here as part of Dog Nation Daily today.
Dog Nation, we hope all of you had a great vacation and a great summer. We're awful excited, all of us, ready to get this season started. And we want to tell you, thank you for your support and your continued support. Oh, I almost forgot. Hold on. Yes, sir!
The cowboy hat there, obviously a perfect homage to Texas. You heard the Old Town Road playing in the background there a bit, too. Hopefully, we weren't the ones playing Old Town Road there. Hopefully that doesn't get us in trouble with Facebook and YouTube and some of these video platforms that have pretty strong algorithms to keep you from taking somebody else's music. If there's anyone to be blamed for that, that's going to be Sam Pittman there. We cannot take the blame for the Old Town Road, so hopefully we don't get flagged by the Big Brother video outlets for a little Old Town Road there. But I hope you enjoyed that nonetheless. I really did. I think Lindbergh's a great piece for Georgia here, and when a lot of the action was in Athens this weekend, it's kind of funny to also have Lindbergh leading the way. And as an offensive lineman, by the way, he'll probably do a whole lot of that in the years to come. But nonetheless, nice to see Lindbergh doing that. Kind of a great moment highlighting what was a great recruiting weekend for Georgia. Now, speaking of that, let me stay in Athens here just for a moment, because there is a lot to be said for what went down in the Classic City this weekend, and no doubt in the forum. dognation.com and on, you know, the website itself, dognation.com. Jeff Sintel's going to have a lot of breakdown and kind of evaluation of kind of everything that does go on here. But I thought one picture may have summed this up better than just about anything, because what was really cool about this weekend for Georgia was the preponderance of current UGA commits kind of coming back in town. And I said last week on the show that I take all of that to mean they are simply here to kind of work on some of those guys who are not committed. And, you know, you got a sense, and we'll show some of this throughout the program, that really this entire weekend for Georgia seemed to kind of center around fun. There's a really obviously great piece of video from Kirby Smart that you may have seen over the weekend, the slip and slide type thing. We'll show you that a little bit later on. But this was really a chance in the kind of the late summer here before the start of practice for Georgia very soon, the start for these high school seniors as well. This was a chance to kind of, hey, let's relax. Let's enjoy one more aspect of summer. We'll do that for ourselves coming up at Dog Nation Days of Summer this upcoming Thursday. The Georgia coaches did that for recruits here this week, both the commits and some of the guys that Dog fans hope become commits. Great picture got shown on Instagram. Georgia quarterback commit Carson Beck was back on campus. And you see the picture here. Now, I'm not always great at identifying these, but the guys tagged in this, Darnell Washington, you had Zachary Evans there, and then you had Keely Ringo. Now, listen, in terms of big-time recruiting hauls, just those three names alone standing there with Carson Beck would be a big deal. But maybe it's the phrasing that Beck uses in his Instagram caption that's going to get a lot of attention here. Carson Beck says, "Move in silence." And for those of you listening on the radio or the podcast, Ringo and Beck and Evans and Washington, they've all got the shush sign they're making there. That's certainly going to set the rumor mill ablaze on our Dog Nation forum and everywhere else about what that might mean. Georgia fans love the idea of so-and-so maybe being a silent commitment. Could maybe one of those guys be a silent commit to UGA, and could maybe more be on the way? Well, there'll be no shortage of Georgia fans who have their opinions on that. The bottom line is, it's about to get really fun. We've got practice starting for the Dogs almost for sure at the end of this week, and as it kind of stands right now before those practices begin, there is a lot of recruiting news either on the precipice of happening, which is probably a bigger word than I should be using, or having just happen. Chad Lindbergh's a tremendous addition to the 2020 class, and based on what went down for Georgia here this weekend, it certainly looks like there's a lot more of those on the way very soon. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldog fans. Thanks for being with us live on video, 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter feed. We're on the radio at noon as well on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Just really glad to have you with us. My microphone may be a little bit low if you want to bring me back up there just a little bit. Nonetheless, just really, really looking forward to the week to come, whether it be the recruiting stuff. We'll have more on Kendall Milton here coming up in just a little bit, or coming up this Thursday as a part of Dog Nation Days of Summer. Now, by now, you know a lot of what is going down with this. The big news is in terms of the special guest who's going to be there. Scott Werner, the great former Georgia Bulldog, is going to be on hand. He'll be telling stories about his national championship season in 1980. He's also got some tremendous insight into the current team as well. Jeff Sintel, there will be also to talk to you about a lot of recruiting stuff. And my, oh my, by the time the Thursday gets here, what all will there to be said about that, especially given the Kendall Milton news for tonight. So Scott Werner, Jeff Sintel, myself, all of you, as a part of Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa this upcoming Thursday for Dog Nation Days of Summer, the next big event for us there. Now, a couple things to be mindful of when it comes to this. If you would like to still book a room and stay with us, my understanding is there are still some rooms left to be booked. So you can go to dognation.com. You can find the tab for Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. You can book those rooms. Our VIP reception is full, but the room opportunity for you to book, it's obviously there, and you can join us and be a part of that. If you're watching on video, you obviously see what a beautiful resort this is. It's going to be an incredible time. Also, if you're in the North Georgia Mountains area, Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa is located in beautiful Towns County. If you're anywhere kind of in that area in North Georgia, you can also just drive over and see us there that night. The public event with myself, Jeff Sintel, and Scott Werner, it begins that night at 6 p.m. It'll be a chance for you to eat dinner. There'll be some drinks for you to enjoy. We've got some really cool Dog Nation glasses for those that we'll be giving out with the purchase of a beverage there that night. Just a lot of really fun stuff going on at Dog Nation Days of Summer this Thursday at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. And, oh, yeah, by the way, for those staying over night, or for those who want to come over on Friday morning, I'll do Dog Nation Daily again there that day at 10 a.m. We've got a golf outing after that. I think that for the most part's already sold out now. There's a tremendous golf tournament that is going on there that weekend at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa that benefits a great cause. You can go to dognationhelp@gmail.com to find out more about that, or just reach out to Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa on your own to find out about that. It's just going to be a loaded weekend of fun. Dog Nation Days of Summer this Thursday. It's August 1st at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. All right, before I get John Stinchcomb, and before we kind of roll on with a little bit more talk on Chad Lindbergh, let me address what is the other big news of the day. It's a preview of tonight. Dog Nation will be live at some point this evening, probably around 7:30, 7:45, heading into what I believe is supposed to be around an 8 p.m. announcement for five-star running back Kendall Milton. So if you're looking for a place to get live video coverage of that, you can get that from Dog Nation tonight this evening as we go live to talk about that. Now, as a precursor to all of that, there has been some interesting stuff in the social media world over the last couple of days about Milton as he gets ready to make this decision. Do you remember Kendall Milton's brother, who has been a featured player on Dog Nation Daily before? Because remember, he had that some sort of dental oral type surgery, and I've always joked that one of my biggest fears is being videoed after having that, is it anesthesia, whatever you call it? They used to call it laughing gas. I don't know what they call it anymore. That may be politically incorrect now. But either way, I've always been really afraid of that. But, you know, the Milton's brother got videoed doing that kind of stuff. And the thing that ended up making headlines of that was the fact that he was wearing UGA bracelets in that particular video. Milton's brother himself was a football player at Fresno State, but wearing the UGA bracelets. And a lot of people hoped, ooh, maybe those bracelets are a precursor for what was to come. Well, if there was chatter about that going back then, there is definitely some chatter right now when it comes to what is going on with Milton's brother here, as his father, Chris Milton, shared on Twitter here. Take a look at the picture of Kendall Milton's brother with the red and black Jeep. Now, I will tell you right now, I am colorblind, but I am pretty sure, for those of you watching in video, I think you'll vouch for me on this. That Jeep is not Alabama Crimson. It is not Ohio State Scarlet. That appears to be about as Georgia red as you can get. Now, Chris Milton says on Twitter, not cool spending all Friday in a dealership, but to see the smile on Kendall Milton's brother's face is worth it. Love you, kid. And boy, you're talking about showing a little love from the dad there. That's a cool thing to see. Obviously, there were some trolls on Twitter talking about how nice the Jeep was, and Chris Milton put one of those in his place. I'll show you this. I thought it was funny. Somebody who said, basically the car was an enticement for Kendall Milton. He says, you're about an idiot. First of all, that doesn't even look like Kendall. Kendall. No, that's his big brother. For the record, if you must know, Kendall drives a blacked-out Dodge Challenger SRT. You can start a rumor about that if you want, LOL. We've been here before when it comes to recruiting stuff. He says, we work. In other words, that's the explanation for where those cars come from. I think Chris Milton, regardless of where Kendall Milton chooses tonight, has been a real breath of fresh air in the recruiting process. I think he's a ton of fun, and I thought y'all might like seeing that that picture of that Jeep, for those of you who haven't seen that already. All right, it's good to have you with us here today as part of a Dog Nation Daily. By the way, I will remind you that we go live for the Kendall Milton coverage tonight. All of that is brought to you by our friends at Kroger. And speaking of Kroger, did you know they've got a baby event going on right now? Now, listen to this great savings. You can buy $40 and save $10 instantly on participating mix-and-match items, including diapers, wipes, formula, and more. So I've told you before, when it comes to that baby stuff, that's all really, really expensive. So the fact that Kroger is offering you that chance at great savings, I think that's the kind of thing you want to take advantage of. So check out your local Kroger for a whole lot more on that. All right, so we got fun to come later on. For now, though, to get some thoughts on Chad Lindbergh and get some thoughts about everything else happening around UGA, let's welcome in our buddy, good friend, the great former Georgia offensive lineman, the All-American himself, John Stinchcomb, here as part of Dog Nation Daily.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
All right, a moment ago here on our program, I kind of talked about Chad Lindbergh, the latest UGA commit, kind of from the standpoint of what it meant from a recruiting standpoint for Georgia, the aggressive way in which that Georgia goes into the state of Texas and pulls him out. That's the kind of thing that's going to get a lot of attention from me, and I'm pretty equipped to talk about that. But someone who's a lot more equipped to talk about who Lindbergh is as a player is John Stinchcomb. He joins us here now as a part of Dog Nation Daily. First of all, John, hope you had a great weekend. Thanks for being back on our program. Hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing great and looking forward to chopping it up with you, B.A.
As always. Thank you so much, John. And I guess let me start with that on Lindbergh. What do you think, based on kind of his size and kind of, you know, what you know about him as a player, what should UGA fans expect here?
Well, it's so impressive to me that they can continue to pull in five-star, four-star, one right after the next. I mean, you had a commitment that, for personal reasons, decides to stay a little bit closer to home and flips, if you will, and within a matter of weeks, they're able to find another four-star from Texas, pull him out, and get him signed up. So it's just, you know, you marvel at their ability to continue to keep these cupboards so full of talent. You know, where he projects, who knows? I think with Coach Pittman, he's got a vision and a plan for guys, but even when you read some of the commentary from Chad, he recognizes that Coach Pittman and really the entire staff, they'll find a place for you. If you're a capable, able body, they are training guys to fill multiple positions. Ben Cleveland was rated as a tackle and he's 6'7". And where does he find a home? It's at guard. Cade Mays, same way. Where does he get some of his early reps as a freshman? At the guard position. So versatility and ability to learn and implement at different roles is something that obviously they're looking for in Athens.
Along those lines, how easy or difficult is it to kind of make that transition? Because that is one of the things that does sell certain players, or at least it sells those players to programs, the idea that they might have a bit of versatility or they might be able to apprentice at one position before eventually migrating to another. We saw Andrew Thomas go from right tackle to left tackle, for instance. We'll see other guys, you know, maybe Cade Mays in the future, go from guard where he has been to a tackle, which might be his future. How, I guess, easy or difficult is that to kind of move from one position to the next? Obviously, young guys want to be on the field as quickly as they can, but in terms of handling the duties of the various positions, how much is required from a player to be able to do that?
It's a challenge. I mean, and there are very distinct pros and cons from the positions of switching from guard and tackle. And, you know, you look at the NFL and most teams require – or don't require, but they have seven guys dressed. Well, that means that you've got two backups, and usually that one's a swing tackle, can play both tackles, and then the other player can play center and guard. Well, Each one of those is different. So not everyone can make that transition from position seamlessly. And really it takes a keen eye from coaches and scouts to recognize what that player is capable of. Some guys don't have the bend or the power to play on the inside, and some guys don't have the feet and mobility to compete in space that's required at tackle. So, you know, each position is different, obviously, and it requires a special player to be able to move. Now, if you can, what an advantage it is. I know, you know, I'm a tackle. I was a tackle by trade, but my first game time for the Saints came in at guard, and to be able to have those reps of stopping some pretty powerful individuals in close quarters, I think made me a better player. You learn about balance and strike points and leverage and those kind of things in a very different way. And same thing for guards. If they're able to move out in space, you can see how to move your body and get to second level and stay in good position. So that was a long answer, B.A. Geez, you just pull my string. You start talking about offensive line play.
I'm in your wheelhouse.
Let me rip. Well, unbelievable. You took a nap in the middle of that.
No worries. No worries at all. Let me do one more thing on Lindbergh before we change the subject. You know, I'm not watching tons and tons of film. If I did, I'm not going to be able to evaluate it the same way you are anyway. But when I look at just sort of the thumbnail sketches of guys like this, one of the things that I do get attracted to, obviously, is the size. You want these big offensive linemen in the current Georgia program. But the other thing, John, is, you know, I won't pretend to be an expert on Lindbergh's particular high school, but I think of the state of Texas as kind of an advanced, you know, version of high school football, where Lindbergh could very well be asked to do, you know, the run block and the pass block, and he's likely playing against a fairly developed sense of a competition. Those are the couple of things that sort of immediately attract me when Georgia's going into one of these states. Florida be another example of this. California may very well be an example of this later on this evening if Georgia gets some good news from Kendall Milton. When you go into a talent-rich state, don't you also benefit from the kind of sort of iron sharpens iron cliche of the kinds of guys these particular players have probably been playing against? You have a little bit of a sense of confidence about the sense of polish this player might have once he gets to Athens, given the fact that he's come through the rigors of Texas high school football.
Yes, you speak in generalities, and what prepares guys is good competition. I mean, yeah, you can go into smaller schools, you can go into states that really aren't known for football, and you can find talent, but they won't have the polish, they won't have the technique, they won't have faced the level of competition that you're going to find in Georgia, Florida, Texas, California, Ohio. Those states, they play some serious football, and it translates more in technique and just the instant ability to step in and having faced some of the better competition and that demands good technique. I mean, if you're the big fish in a small pond, pure athletic ability can get you by. You know, I mean, if you're better than 95% of the folks you play, then you don't need that technique. But when you face good competition, it starts to become a factor, and you start to need the skills to complement just your God-given ability.
Let me change the subject and talk about something completely different here. And we don't have to play audio of this, but for our video audience, I do want to show you a little bit of the video that Richard LeCount shared over the weekend. It's Kirby Smart in his socks getting on a slip and slide with some of the recruits who are on hand. You see some of the other Georgia guys kind of in the midst on all this as well. They are clearly having a good time here to kind of close out the summer. And, Johnny, here's what I'm kind of curious about from your perspective as a former player, not just in terms of, hey, making it fun for recruiting weekend, but how important is it within the confines of a football locker room, a football program, where, let's face it, the SEC is high stakes and people like me at times probably take this stuff 10 times more serious than it truly ought to be taken. How important is having a head coach that can also pull back from that every now and then and kind of become a fun guy just for a moment and kind of let loose and do something just for the fun of it? How important is it to keep that little fun vibe within a program when, let's face it, college football here in the state of Georgia is pretty serious otherwise?
Well, I enjoy seeing it. I think it's a game at the end of the day. I mean, it's high stakes and everybody's playing to win, but if you can find those times and those moments, it helps to relate. I mean, there are some coaches that I can't really picture Bill Belichick doing it, and he's a phenomenal coach. So there are exceptions to the rule, and obviously some really good coaches, but you want to enjoy it. I mean, at the end of the day, I think anybody is playing their best when they're having fun out there, when you can relax and find those moments where the game is what you were drawn to as a kid that got you involved. And when you see your coach out there with you, I mean, that's a good bonding moment. I mean, who didn't have a smile on their face when they're seeing Kirby Smart sliding across a slick piece of plastic with a bunch of old teenagers and young in their 20s kids out there cheering them on? That's fun stuff, man.
Well, I tweeted this out over the weekend, John. I was disappointed in myself in one regard, that it kind of shows you that I've sort of reached the dad point of no return. There is no coming back, because upon seeing that video for the first time, especially with the players who were part of it, my first thought was, ooh, is that safe enough? Like, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to graduate from seeing moments like that as sheer fun, but I'll admit, as a dad of two young kids, safety's kind of always on my mind. I hate to say that my thoughts went to safety pretty quick, but they did. So I'm kind of ashamed of myself in that regard, because that's not who I want to be. I want to hold on to that fun BA. he is starting to slip away, though, as the age comes on, I'm afraid to say.
Hey, I'm with you. It's amazing. I catch myself saying stuff that I promised I would never would. You're hearing your mom and your dad, and then you have kids of your own, and all of a sudden they start just vomiting out of your mouth, and you can't put them back in. You're like, holy cow, did I just say that?
Yeah, I know the feeling. Let me show our audience one more piece of video before we let you go, because I also thought this was pretty fun this week. And once again, we don't need any audio for this right now, but there was an exchange with Chris Conley, who's now with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and a fan.
Oh,
had a
yeah.
Florida, did you see this? The Florida t-shirt, and obviously Conley had some fun choice words for the Florida fan there in that regard. And, you know, you are a Georgia guy that goes to play for the New Orleans Saints, kind of a southern team, much the same way the Jaguars are. I guess I'm kind of curious, how much of those college rivalries do hang around in these NFL locker rooms, and how much sense of pride is a guy like Conley probably still taking in his UGA years for you as an NFL guy, for your UGA years? How much is the average NFL player still holding on to stuff like that?
It's amazing. It is very real. I mean, you talk about the loyalty. I think it almost becomes more, because you're in the same locker room and you're joking with guys. But I think of Alex Brown. Alex Brown, I mean, he gave me nightmares. He was a couple years older, and as a freshman and a sophomore, I got my money's worth from him. But, you know, we ended up on the same team in New Orleans, and great guy. I enjoyed him, which is, it's kind of hard to say about a Gator. And we were in the weight room one day, and we're talking, and his kids are a little bit older than mine, and I was saying, what would you do, AB, if your son were to go to Georgia? And he stopped lifting, he looked at me like I just cussed, you know, I just cussed his kid, like he was some. And he's like, I don't know, Stench. I don't even know if I could let that happen. You know? So, I mean, the rivalries are run pretty deep, and they make them fun. I mean, you get hat bets and shirt bets and all sorts of different kind of bets, really, of just the rivalries and digging on guys. And I guarantee you that those big games, when there's multiple teammates in a locker room that represent both teams on a Saturday, it gets pretty fun for the whole team, where you rile some guys up.
Well, it's also fun for us, John, to be able to talk to you. Thanks so much for sharing your time here today on Dog Nation Daily. It's great to be able to get your memories and your thoughts on what's happening around the football world, but also that breakdown of Chad Lindberg really helps us get excited about what he might be able to do in a UGA uniform. So we appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to getting a chance to speak to you here very soon.
Look forward to more, BA. Thank you, sir.
Great stuff there from John Stinchcomb, the former dog. Actually, let's hold off on that just for a second, if you don't mind. We got a little bit of time here before we need to roll on that. We'll do a little SEC through here coming up in just a moment. We'll get to that. Want to take a moment to kind of just react to what John had to say there before we get rolling. And, you know, I feel really, really lucky that we get a chance to talk to the ex-player about the current player. I love the idea of, and, you know, listen, Jeff Sintel does a great job of kind of give us that insight on who's going to go where and what the industry's saying about so-and-so player, and there's a lot of scoop that can be gained from that. But also, if you watch Before the Hedge, it's presented by Kroger, and a lot of these shows that we do, one of the things that Jeff and I both love doing is saying, okay, he'll give you his opinion, I'll give you my opinion, we'll chop it up, we'll talk, but now let's turn and get the perspective that can only come from having stood on that field. That's what John Stinchcomb brings to the table. And John, in addition to being an evaluator of talents, also the kind of guy that appreciates good news for UGA. So it's great to be able to talk to him about that. There's also one more thing I wanted to mention. Enrique Murillo mentioned this in our YouTube comment section a moment ago. I talked earlier off the top of the program about the Keely Ringos and the Darnell Washingtons and the Zachary Evans. Those guys had their picture with Carson Beck on Beck's Instagram. Enrique also brought up Jordan Burch as well. I'm assuming Burch was there this past weekend. That's what Jeff said was going to go down, and I'll look forward to hearing more coverage from Jeff on that. I guess Dog Nation Daily tomorrow is part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. At that point in time, we'll probably hear a little bit more about Jordan Burch. And so there is a lot to deal with. Cedric Von Prime, what may have happened there, and just kind of, there's just a lot of fun, juicy storylines coming off this particular weekend. So hope you'll stay close to Dog Nation Daily this week, because we're going to do certainly in my expectations, we'll do a good job trying to cover all of that, including that long list of five stars. And as Enrique said, Burch is one of those names that has to be added there into that. With that said, we can roll on with the rest of the program.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, great stuff as always. And we got some more. With John Stinchcomb a moment ago, we talked about some of the Conley stuff and the Kirby stuff. I'm going to do some more with those videos coming up in just a little bit. Let me do the SEC Through before we get there. Let me also remind you about my friends at Callaway Gardens, because, listen, right now you can continue to get great savings on one of the biggest events of the year. You're probably aware that one of the South's most magical holiday traditions is Fantasy and Lights, which goes down at Callaway Resort and Gardens every single year. Well, right now, you may not be aware of this, let me tell you, is that you can get those tickets for Fantasy and Lights at the biggest discount of the year. But listen, you got to hurry, because this is going to be gone pretty soon. They've been calling this kind of a Christmas in July deal. I don't know if that means if that goes away at the end of July. If it does, you've got to get going on this and get there before it's done. CallawayGardens.com. That's CallawayGardens.com, and get you more information about that. And by the way, as you head towards holiday tradition coming up there with the Fantasy and Lights, also maybe enjoy yourself another summer getaway or an early fall getaway. Dog's got a couple bye weeks coming up this fall. That's a good chance to sneak over there and be a part of Callaway Resort and Gardens as well. All right, a lot of SEC Through stuff today. Let me try to run through all of this as quickly as I can. Let me start with Ayabi Anoma. I hope I pronounced that correctly. You probably know him. This was an all-freshman linebacker from Alabama a year ago and a former five-star signee, but has flirted with transferring before. And as Cecil Hurt from the Tuscaloosa News, I believe, was the first to report, Anoma has gone back in the transfer portal again, and it looks like, in all likelihood, is probably going... I shouldn't say all likelihood, but I guess there's a strong rumor out there that Anoma might transfer to Maryland. Now, what's interesting about this is that's Mike Loxley. Loxley, the new head coach of the Terrapins, was the offensive coordinator at Alabama a year ago. There's also some weird stuff that Saban said at SEC Media Days that some people took as a swipe at some of those former assistants, and Loxley's name could have maybe been included in that. This reminds me so much if it does go down. By the way, Anoma's a big-time prospect. Would have been a major player for Alabama this season. Not there, and in all likelihood, probably not going to be there for the 2019 season. It's a big loss for Alabama. And if Maryland were to pick up Anoma, as I guess some of the Alabama media is reporting is a possibility, it's a huge blow from a former assistant to his old boss, and it reminds you a lot of what Kirby did with Maurice Smith upon exiting Alabama to take the Georgia job in 2016. It was a signal from Kirby that I don't work for you anymore, I'm not going to work to help you anymore, I'm actually going to work against you. And Mike Loxley might potentially be saying the same thing here, which I think is very much worth paying attention to. By the way, speaking of really good linebackers, how about Noah Sewell? the, I guess, newly minted five-star courtesy of the 24/7 ranking. Will eventually be a composite five-star there as well. Sewell had some news over the weekend dropping his top eight. I think we've got this to show for you there. Texas A&M and Georgia and Oregon, Tennessee, Florida, LSU, Alabama, and Ohio State. Everything that Jeff Sintel has reported is that Georgia is very much in the mix for Sewell here, and that the we've heard with our own ears Gabriel Sewell, Noel's dad, talking about the fact that they would, yes, they're going to give Georgia an official visit and strongly considering coming to UGA. I told you all this last week. Sewell was a player that I probably wasn't talking enough about soon enough because he was compared, courtesy of Barton Simmons from 24/7 Sports and CBSSports.com last week, to a defensive line version of Ed Oliver and a linebacker version of Devin White. That's a pretty strong comparison there. This is a big guy who can run, and despite the fact that he's not the number one, I guess, rated linebacker in the country currently, I'm not so sure there's a linebacker that Georgia would rather have than Noah Sewell. This is one worth watching. Georgia makes the top eight for Sewell, and in all likelihood is even more of a contender than the top eight would suggest. Maybe possibility Georgia missing out on another recruit, though. I'll tell you what I know about this, then we'll give you some opinion. Javon Dexter, the Florida commit, defensive line commit, who's also been a Georgia recruiting target, tweeted out this week that he's apparently shutting his recruitment down. Here's the message. He says, "Thanks to all the schools who recruited me, it's a blessing from the man above, but after evaluating my opportunities and options, I think it's best for me to shut my recruitment down and not visit any other schools." I guess that's he shows a hashtag, which I guess is what the Florida event was this past weekend. A couple things here. First of all, I'm going to take Dexter at his word because that's the gentlemanly thing to do. And yet that said, I don't expect Kirby Smart and Trey Scott of the Georgia coaches, I don't expect them to slow down on Dexter whatsoever if that is indeed a player they want. Now, it gets tough with numbers because Georgia does not have a lot of numbers left. But if Dexter is a player that still fits in Georgia's plans, my guess is he'll still be hearing from those Georgia coaches. And I think it's great that upon having a good time in Gainesville, he announced that he was shutting things down. Let's see if it stays shut down forever. And by the way, I roll here for the Gators that the big recruiting news for them on the weekend was holding on to a commit they already had. That is not a good situation there going on at Florida. By the way, speaking of Florida, let me do two other quick Gator stories here. This is admittedly kind of an interesting development for the Gators. You remember Kelvin Joseph, former pretty big-time signee with LSU, defensive back, played a little bit last year, put his name in the transfer portal. He apparently took an official visit to Florida over the weekend. We know this because he also tweeted it, a picture of himself wearing that Florida uniform saying, "It's been a great weekend thus far." So Joseph, who was at LSU, spent the weekend at Florida apparently. That's not a bad potential move for Florida, a program that's typically done pretty well with defensive backs. Getting a defensive back that had already been at LSU would be, I'll have to admit, a fairly significant coup. So that did go down. And I'll also say one more thing. Florida's actually started practice now, I believe. I want to say them, Miami, and then which other two teams are playing in a week zero game. They've actually started practice already. So for those of you waiting for that next corner pole to turn around as the 2019 season gets closer, some actual teams have started some actual practices ahead of their first game. So that is certainly good news there, and we'll make that your SEC through. All right, here on Dog Nation Daily, before I move on, I want to show you a couple pieces of video and have a little fun with Chris Conley some more. Let me also remind you about my friends in Engineered Solutions of Georgia. By now, you know ESOG. I've told you this before. That's a solutions-based company. So one of the things that they do really well is simply provide solutions. And you may say, what does that mean? It means if your foundation issue or waterproofing issue, something along those lines, if that's just a simple fix, they're going to send you to the hardware store and say, buy a blah, blah, blah for $9. If that's all it is, that's what they're going to do. But let's face it, when it comes to the foundation and waterproofing issues and things like that, sometimes those are not easy, simple fixes. Sometimes those are the kinds of heavy-duty issues that you need an expert on. Well, that'd be the case. You want Engineered Solutions of Georgia because ESOG has two full-time engineers on staff. So for tough issues, they got the smart people there that can help you fix that and get your house back to where it needs to be. As I said before, after all, we're talking about the structural integrity of your home. So best way to get in touch with them is simply dial this number. Dial 678-ESOG now. That's 678-ESOG now, and that will get you in touch with Engineered Solutions of George. All right, funny story from John Stinchcomb before talking about his own NFL career and how much college alma maters meant to those NFL players. He was relaying the story about what happened with the former Gator, Alex Brown. Well, Chris Conley, the former Georgia wide receiver, now as a part of the Jacksonville Jaguars, also had kind of a funny exchange when it comes to a fan wearing a Florida t-shirt. Now, obviously, if you're on video, you'll get to see this. If you're radio or podcast, you're listening, I'll give you a chance to hear some of the audio on this as well. Here's a pretty good exchange with Chris Conley and a Florida fan after a Jaguars practice.
Oh. Hey, that's a deal. He don't care. He just wants to sign.
Here we go. Gators suck.
That's a photo.
There you go.
And if you want to go to dognation.com, you can hear the rest of that. But you heard him not have the not very fond of the Florida Gators. And at one point in time in the video, a person said, hey, you know, can't you just support Florida a little bit? And the funny line was, like I said, go to dognation.com. You can see this for yourself. He said, this is right after an NFL practice, so he's obviously tired. He says, listen, if I didn't just get out of that practice field, I'd vomit right now. If I wasn't so dehydrated, I'd vomit. So a pretty funny stuff from Chris Conley. You can check that out for yourself there at dognation.com. And then one more thing on the Kirby Smart video, because I thought that John Stinchcomb said something really interesting about this before. Kirby slipping and sliding, and Richard LeCount's the one that actually shared this on Twitter. You know, John said it's hard to imagine Bill Belichick doing this, but you can kind of picture Kirby Smart doing that. I think there's kind of an interesting point to be made about that. To me, that's not nothing, right? Because when you see Nick Saban attempt to do these kinds of things, they share the videos all the time of him pulling the boat, and sometimes he's wearing like a sweater vest, driving his own players around the boat. He's got like pleated shorts on, and you start to think, is this a natural thing for him? Is this an authentic gesture from Saban, or is this simply something he's doing for the video? I think the thing that you probably feel pretty good about Kirby Smart regarding is, and if you're watching on video, you can see this for yourself, I don't think Smart there even knows he's being videoed. That's just him being him, right? I mean, he's not playing to the camera. He's not doing anything like that. He's just being himself. And that kind of authentic quality, that comfort in your own skin, I do think it helps you with recruiting, even if you're not trying to do it because of recruiting, which is a nice thing to be able to think about. So let's wrap up here as a part of today's program. Really appreciate you being with us. As I said before, a couple things to keep in mind. Don't forget, Thursday is Dog Nation Days of Summer right there at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. Can't wait to be there with you for that. And then tonight, live on video, as a part of coverage of Kendall Milton's decision when he makes it. My guess is it's supposed to be 8 p.m. Eastern time, obviously a little earlier than that for Milton himself, who lives in California. We'll be going on air probably 7:30, 7:45, somewhere along that line, just kind of, you know, set the stage for the ultimate Milton decision. So we got good coverage of that coming up for you tonight. I'm really excited about that. I got my dress pullover on today. I'm just really, really excited about talking about Kendall Milton here tonight, and hope for the Dogs fans' sake, get a little good news there. All right, speaking of good news, how about our Gator Hater Updater? 1,003 days, that's how long it's been since Florida's beaten Georgia. We'll see you tomorrow back here on Dog Nation Daily.